Thank you very much for your welcome again. And as always, it's just lovely to be with you. We've been considering some of the names used in Scripture for our Lord. Of course, there are many, many names. And already we have thought of, as we've looked at Psalm 91, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's a name that is used for God in Scripture, the Most High. In Hebrew it's El Elyon. He that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, there's another name. Capital A, capital H for the Most High. Capital A, the Almighty. That name in the original is El Shaddai, or El Shaddai. So, he that dwelleth in the secret place of El Elyon shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. I will say of Jehovah, the most frequently used name for the Lord in Scripture. Almost 7,000 times, the Lord, capital letters, L-O-R-D. Whenever we come across that, we can safely say that that is a translation of the word Jehovah. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, capital G, name, the name of God, Elohim. So even in those opening two verses, we have four names for our Lord, the one true God, the only God. Four very precious names. And tonight we're going to consider a fifth name. And whilst it's referred to in the psalm, it's not actually written in this psalm, so I want to go to a psalm where it is actually written. But it's the name of the Lord of hosts. We've already sang about it in the psalm. The Lord of hosts. We sang, our God who is the Lord of hosts is still upon our side. The God of Jacob, our refuge forever, will abide. So is that name the Lord of hosts? Or if we want it in the original, it's Jehovah Sabaoth. The Lord of hosts. It's so lovely to read it here in the Scripture. A lot of, amazingly, some of the newer translations, you won't find that title at all, Lord of Hosts. They've substituted Almighty instead of the Lord of Hosts, which is quite confusing because El Shaddai is Almighty. Lord of Hosts is Jehovah Sabaoth. But here we have it as it should be. The Lord of Hosts. In the Psalm 91 that we've been studying together, it says, He will give His angels charge concerning thee. And there's the implication of it, that here is the Lord of hosts, the commander of all the hosts of heaven, the commander of the armies of God. All who do His bidding, the Lord of hosts, He sends His angels as a charge concerning you. So I want to pick up that title tonight, and it's lovely when things just sort of slot in. And I want to turn to Psalm 46 now, because we want to consider that title as we read it there in the psalm. So I'd like to read the psalm and then focus for a few minutes on this wonderful title of Jehovah Sabaoth. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Well, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. And we pray that God will just bless this psalm to our hearts tonight and encourage us in himself. So as we go forward into this year, a year that is just a week old, and as we face it not knowing what this year will hold for all of us, it's great to know that we can go forward into this year knowing that God is our refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And as the psalmist is praising God in these sort of three psalms, they seem to go together as a trilogy of psalms in rejoicing in the victory that is ours in God. He's thinking of the trouble that may face his people as we go forward into the future. And in the psalm, he seems to divide things into two. There's the trouble from, it seems, the elements of nature itself. And we are reminded as we think of that, that even this world, even the physical earth, this planet that we live on, even that is feeling the effects of sin. It is an earth that is cursed. Remember, in the day that you eat of the fruit, you shall surely die. And the ground was cursed. And this earth is damaged. This world in which we live is damaged. And that's a source of trouble. And he goes on in the psalm, therefore we will not fear though the earth be removed, though the things that seem as solid as they can be, the mountains, the earth itself, even though they are moved, even though they are disrupted, these things which seem stable are in fact unstable. We've all seen just recently the effects of heavy rain and flooding, not so much in this country but in neighboring countries, the effects of floods and people's lives being turned upside down through floods. And then we see further afield the earthquakes and the devastation that can be caused through an earthquake and the sadness and the death and the turmoil. What trouble there is in the world in which we live. Even from a natural point of view. I was lying in bed just a couple of nights ago and the wind. And I thought to myself, I don't know, I think that roof is going to lift off. It was so fierce. And I thought, well, if that roof blows off now, there'll be nothing but trouble. And it's wonderful to know that even as we face these uncertainties, even from this point of view, from the natural realm, it's wonderful to be able to have this testimony that even in the midst of all of these disasters, God is our refuge and our strength. And I trust we can say that tonight. I trust that each one of us knows that really in our hearts, that God is my refuge and strength. And then the psalmist seems to be thinking of another source of trouble, not so much from the natural realm, but then you're thinking of the nations around. Come down to verse 6. That the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Go down to verse 9. The wars, the bow, the spear, the chariots. Trouble from other nations, trouble from other people. And that's another trouble we can face. Seems to me as if we are living in strange days in this respect. Well, strange times too, from earthquakes and floods and unnatural things happening in our world. But from this point of view, from nations, it seems as if there's never been a time so much as perhaps the present day when world leaders are sitting down thinking, where do we go from here? What are we going to do? I mean, financially, it seems a disaster. It's just one big mess. And we've got all these so-called experts coming together to resolve it. And they say, we're going to resolve it this week, once and for all. And at the end of the week, we're going to meet in 2 weeks' time, and then we're going to really sort it out. And I mean, people are just at their wits' end. The trouble people are facing, and we are part of this because we are in the world. We might not be of the world, but we're in the world. And we too are experiencing this trouble. Now, when will these things be resolved? When will these things be sorted out? And in days of financial uncertainty, in days of nation rising up and seeking to overpower other nations, when we look at the problems in Syria, for example, isn't it wonderful to know God as our refuge? God is our refuge and strength. And He makes all the difference. We still live through winds and floods and earthquakes. We still live in countries that are wondering, how are we going to solve these problems? But in the midst of all this, oh, we know, as far as our true well-being is concerned, we are safe. Because God is our refuge and strength. And He is our very present help in all that is happening round about us. And the difference He makes. Look at verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. Now, look at verse 4. That was verse 3. But in verse 4, there is a river. See the contrast. Though the waters roar and be troubled, there is a river. And when I read that verse, there is a river, do you know what I think of, what I remember? I go back to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters, or the quiet waters. And here's the water roaring round about us. But for those whose refuge is in God, there's the experience of the stillness of the river of God. The river of God, according to another psalm, that is always full, but full of blessing for those who wait upon Him. The contrast there. And then the contrast then between that's in the natural realm, the waters are roaring, but in the realm of the nations round about us and what is happening round about us, we read the kingdoms raged. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. But when we come to the experience of the believer. Verse 10. Be still. There's turmoil and there's movement. Even those things that seem rock solid are being moved and carried around. But for the believer, there is stability. There is stillness. Oh, the storm may roar around me. My heart may be laid low. But God is round about me. And can I be dismayed? I cannot. Well, I should not. Because He is my God. God is our refuge and our strength. And the difference between knowing God and being outside of that refuge and that strength is quite remarkable, as the psalmist paints it for us here. And I trust and I pray that as we go into 2012, oh, that we might realize our position in Christ, that we might realize what it is to be a believer, that we will face the uncertainties of 2012, knowing the peace and the stillness and the refuge and the quiet waters of knowing God as our wonderful refuge and strength. But now we come to that verse which is repeated there, in verse 7 and 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. You know, we just thought of the incarnation. The coming into this world of the Son. Son of God, the Word was made flesh and made His dwelling among us. Oh, how wonderful the miracle of the incarnation. True God, and yet He became true man. Amazing, wonderful, amazing plan of God in redemption. And the message that came in Matthew chapter 1 was, in Matthew chapter 1, His name is Emmanuel. God with us. Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's lovely, isn't it? The one who made all things. The one who is Elohim. Jehovah Lord. El Shaddai. El Elyon. Jehovah Sabaoth. He came and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John could say. God with us, Emmanuel. And we come to this wonderful psalm. And the psalmist is rejoicing. Oh, for the believer, the Lord of hosts is with us. We rejoice that He came. He came. He left the glories of heaven and came into time. At just the right time, God sent His Son, born under the law. It's absolutely wonderful. Emmanuel, God with us, so that we, and He came to save us and to make us His children. And we can say here tonight on the outset of 2012, I can go into 2012 and His name is still Emmanuel, because He is still with us. He is still with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. And the Lord of hosts speaks so much of His power. We've thought of the power of nature. He is the creator compared to the creation. When we think of the heathen raging and kingdom rising up against kingdom and all the turmoil and the uncertainty in the world, oh, He is above all that. He is above all that. He's not down in it trying to cope and find an answer. He is above it all because He is the Lord. The Lord of hosts, the one who is above creation. the one who is above the nations. Oh, they have their schemes and their plans, and they have their armies, but we are talking about the Lord of hosts here. There's only one Lord of hosts, and he is sovereign, and he is Lord over everything, and it is he who is with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. In previous studies on this, we thought it was a good idea to look back to the first time that these titles appeared in Scripture. Elohim was in Genesis chapter 1. Jehovah, we found it there in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, and so on. The Lord of hosts, when did that first appear? First appearance of that was in very dark days indeed. The priest on the throne was a man by the name of Eli. He had two wicked sons, Ophni and Phinehas, who had no time really for the real things of God at all. All they were concerned about was lying in their own pockets and feasting off the sacrifices and the food of others. And in these bleak days, we find this title, I am the Lord of hosts. The glory had departed from Israel, but he's still the Lord of hosts. And in that day, that dark day of small things, time of declension when there was much darkness and indifference to the things of God anyway, he's still the Lord of hosts, and he is still working his purposes out, and he is still doing something, and he still raises up a little family, and he still raises up his prophet Samuel. Yes? And it's exciting to see that although the light had gone down to a very little small flicker, God was still the Lord of hosts, and he was going to fan that little flame into a greater flame. And remember that little boy David, when he went out to visit his brothers as they fought the Philistines. The Philistines said, send us out, you are best soldier, and we'll send out our best soldier, and let them fight it out. And whoever wins, then they are the victors. And they brought out their champion, Goliath, massive man, huge fella. And everybody quaking in their shoes, we're no match for him, we've had it. And along comes David, and David says, oh, let me go and fight him. And after a while, he goes down to fight him. And do you remember the words of Goliath? And he shouts out to him in scorn, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? And David said to me, you come with your armor and all the paraphernalia and all that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Because my God is the captain of the armies of heaven. My God is the Lord of the hosts. He's the Lord of everything. And Goliath, I feel sorry for you because you've had it. You know, you are no match. You think you are. You're a massive fella, but you're no match. You are doomed. Because the Lord of hosts is on my side. And I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. It's wonderful. The Lord of hosts is with us. And it is the same one who is with us, as was with David, as was with Samuel. And when we go down through the Old Testament, and we particularly when we come into the prophets, and the minor prophets particularly, when the nation is going through a tough time again, and it's really bleak. And remember, the Assyrians come up and they cart off the northern kingdom, Israel, and now they are at the door of Jerusalem, and they are going to seemingly wipe out Judah as well. And then the Lord gives them a remarkable victory over the Assyrians, but then in years to come, the Babylonians come and they are knocking at the door, and it seems as if they are going to wipe out Jerusalem. Here's a lovely little story. And God comes to his servant. There they are, Jerusalem is surrounded, besieged on every side. The ramps are up against the walls of Jerusalem. It's only a question of time before all the Babylonians come pouring over and just wipe the place out completely. And there's a man called Jeremiah. And God says to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, presently, your uncle's boy is going to come. And he's going to say to you, will you buy my field in Anathoth, which was just the other side of the wall of Jerusalem? Will you buy my field in Anathoth? Jeremiah, I want you to buy it. Because there's coming a day when on that field there's going to be vineyards and there's going to be houses and people are going to be living in peace and safety. And you know all the trouble that is around us now? Well, that's only passing. There's coming a day when I'm going to really bless you. And Jeremiah had the faith to believe God, to believe his word. And he said, I'll buy it. And just as the word of God had said, along came his relative. Jeremiah, I got a proposition to put for you. Well, look, Jeremiah's thinking to himself, I know what's coming. Go on, say it. I've got a field out there in Anathoth. You wouldn't buy it, would you? It's your right to buy it. You know, the family law there, you know, of redemption. So it's you. You have the right to buy it. Will you buy it? Now, given the present circumstances, it, from a human point of view, it was a mad thing to do. Like, there was no way that it was a wise investment. Put time and money into buying a field out there that was now occupied by the Babylonians. I'll buy it. And he bought the field. He measured out the silver and bought the field. The deed was signed and it was given to Jeremiah. It was his now. And Jeremiah turned to the Lord in prayer. And he said that wonderful prayer. It's so exciting to read these verses in chapters 32 and 33 of Jeremiah. He read the prayer and this is his prayer. Ah, sovereign Lord, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult for you to do. And the title he uses in that prayer over and over again, you read it, is, you are the Lord of hosts. Lord of hosts. And dear believer tonight, we can rejoice in this, that this same Lord of hosts is with us. The Lord that went forward down into the valley with that stripling of a boy, David, and gave him a wonderful victory, is the same God who is with us. The same God who said to Jeremiah, if you will but trust me, oh, you will see a transformation. And you will see in days to come that I will bless you. And I will turn this situation around. The same Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So on the one hand, we've got the Lord of hosts, the supreme power, Lord of all things, the commander of the armies of heaven is with us. And on the other hand, beautiful parallelism here, the God of Jacob. You know, Jacob, just an ordinary guy. Jacob, bit of a disappointment, really. His name meant deceiver. Jacob. Deceived. Swindled. And yet, God had set his love upon him. And God blessed him. And turned that life completely around. Became Israel. Jacob, a supplanter, a deceiver, now becomes Israel, a prince with God. And we have in that beautiful story a lovely picture of the love of God for Jacob. The Father's love and the grace shown to this unworthy sinner. And we have this lovely combination between the Lord of hosts is with us, supreme power, and we have the God of Jacob. is our refuge. And these two things meet together in this wonderful verse that is repeated. This parallelism. I read somewhere once, and I can't remember where I read it, but I think it went somewhere like this, that power without love is tyranny. Right? Power without love is tyranny. Love without power is a tragedy. Right? But love with power is heavenly. And that's what we have here. This beautiful parallelism, where the one is supposed to sort of contrast and yet reflect the other truth. We see it all the time in the Psalms, where something is repeated, but like from a slightly different angle, but it sort of substantiates the other thing. And here it is, the Lord of hosts is with us. Oh, how wonderful. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And the last words of Jesus as he left his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. I love this because the Gospel of Matthew starts with Emmanuel, God with us. And the Gospel of Matthew ends with, and go into all the world, taking this wonderful message of the Gospel, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. His name is still Emmanuel. He is still with us. And although it's 2012, he is still with us. And although it'll be Monday morning tomorrow, he is still with us. And whatever you are facing this year, and whatever you are scared of this year, and the uncertainty and the unsureness of the future, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Oh, the Lord, help us to be like David, although we feel so little, our confidence is in God. And although we're living in dark days and days of declension and a day of small things, oh, our confidence is in God, like Samuel. And although the enemy is at the gate, and although there seems to be so much injustice and people get away, as we say, with murder, oh, it's wonderful to know that our confidence is in God and the future is glorious. The Lord bless us, and the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless this lovely fellowship of his people. May 2012 be a year when his name will be glorified and his people blessed and many added to the family of God. We ask it for his name's sake. Amen. Amen.